This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Hello and welcome to All About Her. We talk to inspirational women on the highs and lows of their journey to where they are today. I'm your host, Jasmine. Come learn, grow, and be inspired with me. Hello and welcome to All About Her. My name's Jasmine and I'm your host today. And today we are joined with Instagram superstar Jess, also known as Fat Bobbin Girl. Welcome to the studio, Jess.
Hello.
I'm going to start off with a very vague question, which I ask everyone, which is, tell me a bit about yourself. Give us a bit of, basically, give us the flashback episode of how you got to where you are today.
Okay, well, I suppose, like, professionally, I am one half of a sewing pattern company that sells digital sewing patterns, mm-hmm. Called Minute and Broad. We specialize in kind of sizes 12 over sewing patterns. I also do printing of sewing patterns here in Christchurch, mm-hmm. And I post a lot of my kind of sewing makes on Instagram as well. But before that, my background was in kind of the arts, broadly speaking.
Tuba.
And also, kind of arts management things, a little bit of marketing, that kind of thing, kind of the background of arts organizations.
Amazing. I thought I'd just give everyone a bit of our origin story because it's quite an interesting one how we as a pair of besties came to be. On January 9th, Jess's life changed forever when she was walking her dog, and I just happened to be also out on a walk and I asked if I could pet her dog. I then managed to stalk her on Facebook, find out who she was, asked if we could be friends. She said she sewed her own clothing, and I asked to see her Instagram. And she sends me a link, and I'm like, oh my god, this woman has over 20,000 followers, and my jaw was on the floor. You are mainly known for your sewing and your me-made clothing. What got you into sewing?
Honestly, it was that I wanted natural fiber mm-hmm. clothing in a particular style. I would say I'm not super feminine, mm-hmm. but I couldn't find that kind of clothing in my size. Mm-hmm. And particularly, I lived in the States for a few years before coming back to New Zealand and found that compared to being in America, plus size clothing options in New Zealand were really limited, and especially if you didn't want to wear polyester. So that's kind of what got me into sewing.
What was kind of your sewing journey like? Were you naturally talented from the start?
No, and I'm still not naturally talented. It's interesting because I really bring like a beginner perspective to mm-hmm. our company and mostly take care of the marketing. So like don't panic. I'm not doing a really terrible job on the patterns or anything because that's not my department. I'm still not a great sewer, but I also don't think it matters really. Like it was just important for me that I get good enough to make clothes that I could wear. And that's, I'm quite happy in that. But of course, sewing as much as I do, I couldn't help but get a bit better.
Yeah.
Well, not good, but like I improve all the time. And like I said, I bought more equipment.
Yeah.
You know.
The clothes can survive the washing machine.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. High priority for clothes. How did this all become a business? Like, what's the origin story there?
Totally accidentally. I didn't like get into sewing being like, oh, what a great side hustle. It was mm-hmm. definitely just for me to make clothes for myself. And I still only so for me, like I'm not making stuff for other people. Mm-hmm. So I basically it was totally an accident. My business partner Leela mm-hmm. got in touch with me. She and I were basically the same measurements, and she had a big background in sewing, mm-hmm. and had studied pattern drafting and that kind of thing at college in Australia.
Huge history.
Yeah. And she had taken a few years off as well. She was a musician mm-hmm. too, so we had kind of a similar.
Oh my god. We didn't basically know that at the time. Living double lives.
Yeah, truly. And she had drafted some pants for herself, and we were the same measurement. So she said, do you want to try my pants? And I was like, absolutely.
Hell yeah, free pattern.
Yeah. Yeah. Free pattern in that were my measurements. So I didn't have to mm-hmm. do any work to them, kind of thing. And then they were really good. And at that time I think I had like 6,000 followers on Instagram, and she had under 1,000 or something, and she was just like, I would like to release this as a free pattern, but I don't have a website. I don't want to organize it. So I posted about it on my blog and website and set up an email newsletter so people could get the pattern for free.
Yeah.
It was really limited sizing. Our size was the smallest size, and then two sizes above that. Super limited instructions, and then so we sent it out as a free pattern, and then everyone was like, okay, but we need more information, because we hadn't really realized that if you are not included in sewing patterns because of your size, then you actually don't have the skills to do lots of stuff. So stuff needed to be beginner friendly, and so from there we just started releasing patterns together.
That's so exciting. What has been the favorite pattern that you've released?
I think everything, like, whatever's new is your favorite, because that's like your new baby kind of thing.
It's nice and fresh.
But there are a few patterns that I keep coming back to, like, probably every time you see me, you might see that I'm wearing my wide leg glebe pants.
Yeah, I even know what they're called. I'm like, the glebe pants. Yep. I know the ones.
Yeah, they're kind of the ones that, like, they were the first pattern that we did. That was the free pattern that she sent me. And they're still the thing that I like to wear a lot of. I think often...
Like to provide context. Jess is wearing hot pink wide leg glebe pants. Is that linen?
Yeah. I think often, like, we get rules for, like, when you're a plus size to be like, you shouldn't wear pants like this. So I really like the, like, wide leg and how voluminous they are. And I like them in the summer and in the winter. And... I feel like they go with everything.
Yeah. We go on dog walks a lot, and we have some very in-depth discussions. Did you want to talk about kind of like your personal style and style philosophies for a little bit?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, big
topic. Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know. What is my...
I can give you some some prompts.
Give me some prompts.
How do you feel about colour in clothing?
It's taken me a really long time to get to what my wardrobe looks like now, but I suppose that if you saw me in my clothes, you would say that I dress, like, pretty bright. But it's generally in pretty low contrast combinations, if that makes sense. So I went through, like, every single colour wardrobe thing you can kind of do on the internet, like... putting together wardrobe color schemes and thinking about capsule wardrobes and all that kind of thing to try and, like, find clothes that I really loved. It didn't really work for me. But now I've settled on that I'm a warm autumn season. and that means certain colors, you know, look great on me, but also that in combinations that should be not high contrast colors.
Yeah.
So I do lots of, like, plums and pinks and similar shades all tied together.
How does sustainability come into your business and your sewing?
I think sustainability, sewing, being interested in sustainability is a great reason to get into sewing, and is part of why I was into it as well. I love to wear natural fibers, not just because I think they do really well on your body. They don't make you sweat. They don't make you stinky. But also that when you're washing them, you're not releasing microplastics, that you know where your clothes come from because you're making it. I mean, you know what conditions they're being made in because you're the one making them. So it's been really interesting to get quite deep into sourcing the materials and all that kind of thing. And you're still at the, you know, when you're buying fabric, you don't always know exactly where that comes from.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of stuff isn't made in New Zealand anymore. Like, it's quite difficult to get fabric that's been woven in New Zealand, or buttons and findings that are made here. But I do search anyway. You know, all of my buttons are shell or Corozo nut, which comes from a kind of tree.
How random.
Yeah, so you can take a really, go really deep on that idea of, like, removing microplastics, trying to make them as, like, compostable as possible.
Yeah, it's very cool to see so many creatives taking, like, an eco focus moving forward with their businesses. You mentioned before that you do printing of patterns. What, for people who aren't in the sewing world and maybe listening, what does that mean?
The step back before that of why there needs to be printing of sewing patterns is to talk about indie sewing patterns.
Yeah.
So when you say sewing patterns, lots of people might think it about going to Spotlight and buying the kind of envelope with the tissue paper in there that they're maybe used to seeing people in the past sewing from.
Yeah, like what your grandma's got.
Exactly. But now there's a whole new kind of business generation of PDF sewing patterns, which are digital, kind of usually a bit like fashion forward or a bit more modern, and they're available as digital files. Mm-hmm. So you get them, you open them on your computer, and you can either print them on like A4 paper at home and then stick them together yourself, or you can come to a business like what I do and I print them onto an AO paper.
That's a really big piece of paper.
Yeah.
For content.
Yeah, it's like, I should know the exact measurements. Yeah. It's 841 millimeters wide.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you kind of, then you've got your pattern to go from there.
Cool. And you noticed that this was like a hole in the market within Christchurch?
Actually, what happened was, how we operate our business, the sewing pattern business, is that Leela will draft something, she'll make it, and then she'll send it to me and I'll make it.
Yeah.
And that comes through to me as a digital file from her. She's based in Canada. And when we went into the first lockdown, I was in an apartment. Everything was closed. I didn't have a printer. And all of a sudden I found myself in this position of actually, basically because New Zealand had such a hard lockdown compared to other countries, where like...
You can't even pick stuff
exactly.
up.
So warehouse stationery was the usual place I was going. Yeah, they weren't open. They weren't printing. And I just thought, wow, that really totally put the brakes on our business because I was unable to get this thing done. So then I was moving apartments and I thought, okay, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And because I already had a bit of a following from other Christchurch makers and also had a connection with a local Christchurch sewists kind of meetup group, I knew enough people that I kind of felt like I could buy this predominantly for myself and also have a few people that could take advantage of it.
Start to pay it off.
Exactly. Start to pay it off. And I purposefully undercut warehouse stationery by $1 per page. And started offering sewing patterns. But it's not, I mean, it's not a huge part of my day-to-day what I do, but it's a nice little thing to, help pay back the cost of this huge printer that takes up a heap of my living room space.
Yeah, awesome. What has been kind of the biggest struggles for you of being self-employed?
I don't know that there's any struggles particularly other than like, bookkeeping, which I'm a bit bad at.
I don't think anyone is good at bookkeeping.
I feel like if you were really good at bookkeeping, you'd be like, it's too much work to go into business. Yeah, I'm gonna do someone else's books. It kind of just happened, honestly, for me. And it, you know, I had a job. I had a job when we went into the first lockdown, and then we came out, and I thought, oh, actually, this kind of side business of selling sewing patterns on the internet, I could potentially make that my full income. So in addition to selling sewing patterns, we also have a Patreon, which people can sign up to and they get kind of behind the scenes access and little perks from.
So Patreon, for people who don't know, is like a paid monthly subscription.
Yeah. So there's different tiers in there and people can get different stuff from our sewing pattern company. And that's a great help because that does kind of...
bit of a consistent income.
And really kind of adds into these... pattern sales from every month to kind of keep me afloat. Yeah.
How do you feel that a big part of your job is being a personality?
I don't like that at all.
Don't like being recognized in the supermarket.
No. I mean, I don't want to say, like, if anyone hears it, they're like, I guess I won't say hello to her. I did not set out to be an Instagram influencer. Like, I didn't set out for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And although now it's this kind of huge part of my business, I suppose I don't share a lot of like my personal life on Instagram, that kind of thing. No, I'm not crazy about being noticed or recognized out in public. But I suppose it's interesting or it's good if people who get something from my account kind of thing.
I think it's really interesting because now that I do know you as a person, and I'd like to think we're quite close, is that you're very transparent about kind of who you are and the way you talk on Instagram, where who you are off Instagram is very similar to who you are on Instagram. Do you find that kind of helps instead of having two separate personalities.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to be, like, fake on Instagram, yeah. but I also don't think, like, I don't think that Instagram is my friend.
Yeah.
Like, if I only know people on Instagram, like, you can meet friends yeah. online, that kind of thing, or have, like, a relationship with them, but I, you know, I'm not taking videos of myself to put in my stories thinking that I'm talking to, like, 21,000 of my friends.
Yeah.
I consider that, well, yeah, like I'm on Instagram, yeah. but also every time I'm on there, I'm trying to push people to join our email yeah. newsletter.
Like, it's a weird thing, because I say this to Josh a lot, is I sometimes feel like my whole business is strung up in, like, a silly little web.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what happens if Instagram stops working one day? Like, it did a couple, like, a year ago or something. Instagram, Facebook and stuff all just went offline for mm-hmm. like a few hours. If that was my whole job, that would be so scary.
Yeah. And yeah. also I'm pretty cynical, I suppose. And my interest is in, like, marketing and yeah. social media apps. And I think probably the time is almost here where Instagram will go the same way as Facebook, where even if people like you or follow you on Facebook, now you have to pay for yeah. them, people who, for those people who've already liked you yeah. to see your posts. And I think Instagram will be monetized in that way. And I'm not interested in creating reels.
I don't like Instagram reels, mainly because I love TikTok. Mm-hmm. I'm diehard TikTok. And Instagram's just all the bad bits of TikTok. Mm-hmm. They don't have any of the good bits of TikTok. It's just all the bad stuff.
I remember when Instagram didn't even have stories yeah. and they added those in, and I was like, Instagram's trying to be Snapchat.
Back in your day.
Back in my day, Instagram didn't have stories.
Speaking about marketing and that kind of being your true passion, what are kind of your best marketing tips for, like, Instagram? Let's start off with Instagram. Giving out some hot free advice here.
Do you mean all those things I tell you?
Yeah, tell me everything. Tell me what I need to hear.
I suppose kind of how I approach thinking about social media is mm-hmm. thinking about how I interact with businesses, mm-hmm. what makes me unfollow them or what makes yeah. me follow them.
Savage, but okay.
Oh, I'm yeah. super savage. You know, like, if I, and this is why I'm so particular about what I post on my own Instagram stories as well. Mm-hmm. I know that if I'm following what I consider to be a business, mm-hmm. which I guess people might consider my Instagram account to be.
Yeah.
If they post, like, a story that talks about stuff that's not the reason why I'm following them. Like, mm-hmm. frankly, if you're posting pictures about your personal life and I'm there because you make quilts,
yeah,
I'm probably going to unfollow you. So just thinking about to businesses that in every single thing that you post, you can't assume knowledge.
Yeah.
You have to be introducing people, describing what you do. I think, you know, for my account, I can't presume that people know that I make sewing patterns, that mm-hmm. I, you know, whatever it is, you have to be telling people in that post, rather than, you don't want to get to a situation where your account is a bit like insider information. There's yeah. too many inside jokes and people come to it and think, well, I don't know what that's about, and it's mm-hmm. clearly not talking to me. So, yeah, that's my tip.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because one of the marketing things is that I've kind of tried to focus on is answering the questions I get asked a lot. And this is even in emails. I'll start to notice a trend. For context, for anyone listening, I'm a florist. I do weddings and stuff like that. If a bride comes to me and there's, like, 10 brides who all ask the same question, I'm like, well, clearly there's a hole somewhere where I am not educating them enough to already know the answer to this, because it's very easy for me to go, why are they so stupid? Like, why don't they understand this? And it's like, no, I'm the stupid one. I haven't actually told anyone the information.
I think also on that,
yeah.
if you're a person running an account, it's easy to think about all the things you've posted on your Instagram account to be like, well, I've answered that question. Yeah. I told you that. But actually an Instagram account, no one's sifting through and reading all your captions, right?
I'll, like, do maybe the top six.
Oh, that's very generous yeah. of you. I think, like, sometimes we put really good information onto our social media and it doesn't make it onto a website,
yeah.
which is the where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving away from Instagram, you've always kind of told me to push for email newsletters, as websites, as you said before. Why?
Because Instagram is not there for you, right? Yeah. Like, Instagram is there for Instagram. And I think if you build your business focusing on one platform, mm-hmm. you risk getting yourself into a situation where Instagram changes and wants you to pay for people yeah. to see your posts. Then all of a sudden you're paying Instagram when you could have been diversifying how you're getting in touch with people.
Mm-hmm.
Also, yeah. on Instagram, people who have already purchased from you don't necessarily see your posts. You know, yeah. you're at the mercy of Instagram. So, you know, like once you've converted a customer, the yeah. easiest person to convert back again is the person who you already got the first yeah. time. So talking to your existing customers mm. who already like your product, who already, you know, are on board with what yeah. you're selling is probably the best use of your time.
Yeah. My dad always says, like, you just need 100 true fans. If you've got 100 people who are buying from you like 10 times a year, then you're going to start racking up the cash pretty quick. You don't need thousands of people. You just need like those really lots, a smaller amount, but still lots of like really loyal people.
Absolutely. And you could see like I have this today, as of today, 21,900 yep. followers on wow. Instagram.
Not that we're counting.
Not that we're counting. I'm so close to being on 22 though. I looked this
yeah,
morning.
Yeah. It's like a little milestone.
I'm four followers away. So, yeah. But.
I've got 1 point, like, four. I'm actually going to pull it up. 1 point. I'm so close to 1.6K, which is like 0.5% of what you've got, which yeah. is so interesting.
Well, yes, but also like so many of the accounts that follow me are totally dead weight, right?
Yeah.
Like when I post something, I'm not getting 22,000 likes.
Yeah.
I'm not even getting 10,000 likes.
Me going to commenting on on every different account.
Liking the things from all her
yeah,
accounts.
Yeah, every 2 minutes after you post.
You got to help the algorithm yeah. along, Jasmine. But I think that's really important mm-hmm. that, yes, it's not about having 22,000 followers, yeah. especially if you're a local business that has a really specific catchment area. Yeah. It's no use having heaps of followers in Auckland if you only deliver cakes in Christchurch, right?
Yeah, because they can't order your cakes.
Unless they're ordering for their friends in Christchurch. But still, I think yeah. you could spend better time.
There is a weird thing that I've noticed happening with my business, again, flower deliveries. So I've been getting a lot of orders from people outside of Christchurch. So I think I'm popping up somewhere mm-hmm. if you type in Christchurch florist, which
that's great.
I don't know how.
Oh man, have you set up the Google Analytics that I sent you?
No,
Jasmine?
I search
engine console.
See, I have set it up. Google Analytics. If you don't know what that is, I also don't really know. Can you fill us in?
Well, it's about to change because of cookies are changing. But basically,
I don't even understand cookies.
It's something that connects to your website mm-hmm. that lets you see the traffic that comes to your website, yep. where those people are coming from, where, you know, what page they're landing on, where yep. they're getting to on your website, yep. what page they're leaving from. But because Google's quite creepy, it also gives you an idea of, like, most of the people coming to your website are women aged between 18 and 35. Yep. So they also give you demographic information.
Very cool. It's definitely something that I need to take more advantage of. I just feel like there's so much out there mm-hmm. these days for people to kind of soak in for, like, marketing.
I think what's interesting to me about Google mm-hmm. Analytics is a conversation we've had about who's the person that's buying flowers.
Yeah.
And my fear, you know, I think it's women buying flowers, not men
yeah,
searching
this
websites.
This is the biggest thing is everyone thinks it's like, oh, you've got to target the men on Valentine's Day. It's like, personally, hot take, I don't think Valentine's Day is a good time to get someone flowers.
Mm-hmm.
As a businesswoman, yes, buy flowers. But as a girlfriend, I'm like, no, I want flowers any day that's not Valentine's
yep.
Day. Because on Valentine's Day, I expect flowers. But I want, like, if my partner came home with just flowers, I'd be so happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all women buying for usually other women.
Or for themselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, you know, often you can have these traditional ideas of who you should be marketing to for businesses.
Yeah.
And Google will tell you, like, having Google Analytics set up will be like, actually, all the people coming to your website are women.
Yeah. It is creepy. But very cool. let's have a little break. Did you want to make a wee song request?
Yeah, my request is Gotta Get Up by Harry Nilsson.
Amazing. I have not heard the song before, but we will be back right after the song.
Gotta get up, gotta get out, gotta get home before the morning comes. What if I'm late? Got a big day, gotta get home before the sun comes up. Up and away, got a big day, sorry can't stay, I gotta run, run, yeah. Gotta get home, pick up the phone, gotta let the people know I'm gonna be late. There was a time when we could dance until a quarter to ten. We never thought it would end then, we never thought it would end. We used to carry on and drink and do the rock and roll. We never thought we'd get older, we never thought we'd grow cold. Across the bubbling waves, and those were happier days. But now, gotta get up, gotta get out, gotta get home before the morning comes. What if I'm late? Got a big day, gotta get home before the sun comes up. Up and away, got a big day, sorry I can't stay, I gotta run, run, yeah. Gotta get home, pick up the phone, gotta let the people know I'm gonna be late.
Hello and welcome back to All About Her. Today we're joined with Jess, who's Fat Bobbin' Girl on Instagram. Jess, I've got a big question for you. You are self-employed and you work for yourself, mainly from your home. How do you manage your well-being?
I guess early on I felt pretty guilty about like taking time out or doing things during the day, and not anymore. I'm just like super liberal with myself about doing things during the daytime.
Yeah.
So I will
making the most of the daylight.
Absolutely. I will take the dog out for a walk in the middle of the day, or probably not in the summer, it'll be too hot.
Yeah.
But I do take those breaks during the day. Sometimes I go to the pools out in New Brighton. I'm trying to go swimming every Wednesday.
Yeah.
Just doing those things during the day where I might feel guilty about like doing a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
And that actually just like isn't relevant to me, nor do I think a 9-to-5 is healthy for like anybody.
Yeah. Why work a 9-to-5 when you could work 24/7?
Exactly. And because I end up doing heaps of work at night often, especially if I'm sewing on a project, like I just have the lights on.
It's an all-nighter.
Yeah, I've got Netflix on. I'm up until, the late night sewing and unpicking mostly. When you sew at night, it's more trying to fix your mistakes than actual sewing.
It's very interesting how when you work for yourself, your schedule becomes, or your routine is so flexible, because I find myself, I'm most productive to do like admin work very late at night, and I'm talking like after midnight, late at night, like my sleeping pattern's screwed, but that's what works best for me. And what I do is I schedule my emails to go out at normal times of the days, so people don't think I'm insane for emailing them at like 2 a.m. in the morning. But kind of going off that, what are some boundaries you've set in place with your business to kind of keep yourself sane?
So I mentioned before that the printing that I do, which is a physical product, that it's a really small part of my business. But I really early on, I decided that like I wasn't going to be sitting around waiting for people to send in printing to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some days I might do quite a bit of printing and some days I'll do no printing or just one page.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's a lot of, like, business ideas about having, like, open hours and those kind of things. And I realized, like, I didn't want to have open hours. I wanted to have the flexibility to be like, oh, it's quiet today and it's beautiful weather. I'm going to go to the pool or I'm going to take the dog out now, and to not feel like I was tied to this location.
Yeah.
So when people order from me who are Christchurch based, they book in a 20-minute window to come and pick them up. I give instructions. If they're late for that 20-minute window, they get another chance. And if they miss that again, then the next time they get in contact with me, I tell them to go to warehouse stationery to get printing done.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened a lot, but, you know, I have this little blurb that I send out to new customers saying, I don't have open hours because this is not my full-time job.
Yeah,
and I explain to them how it works.
It's also where you live.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't sure if I could disclose that.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm in a similar situation with, I stopped offering pickups for flowers unless I kind of have gotten to know this person and they could give me a very specific time, because people are like, oh yeah, I can arrive between 11 and 3. And I'm like, that is the entire day.
Yeah. And I think you have to think about when doing those things, like, what's the hourly rate for sitting there?
Yeah.
And are you making that? Because if you're not, then you don't need to be sitting there.
Yeah.
And if it's not convenient for people to work with that, then they can go and pay a dollar more at warehouse stationery.
Yeah.
It's not a huge problem for me, but I knew really early on that I wanted that kind of in place to make the business work for me instead of having this thing that was just like a stress and, yeah, that felt like, it was kind of like a crushing weight on me because I couldn't do what I wanted to do or needed to do during the day.
Yeah, you're waiting around for people.
Yeah.
Has there been anything that surprised you on your journey within your businesses or Instagram?
I suppose how willing other people are to support you.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I guess when we started the Patreon.
Yeah.
Which you don't really get perks for Patreon, right? Like, it's... You kind of do, but it's not really a value proposition thing.
Do you want to... What do you offer in your Patreon?
So like, at the top tier, it's $18 US.
Yeah.
And at that...
So, like, $30?
Yeah.
$35 New Zealand dollars?
A month.
Yeah.
Which is a decent chunk of money,
yeah.
right?
And some McDonald's Uber Eats order.
At least. At that, like... Yeah, we offer a patent bonus every month, and they get, like, weekly chats from us and some other behind-the-scenes.
So, like, little podcast-y type stuff.
Yeah, but it's not like you're getting something that's valued at 35 New Zealand dollars a month. That people are signed up to that to provide support to us because they believe in the business that we're doing. Yeah. So we have a couple of things that we offer. It's not just like we're some random business, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're providing pretty expensive sizes for plus sizes. Mm-hmm. We go up. Our largest size is a 71.5-inch hip. I don't remember what that is in centimetres. It's quite large.
Yeah.
And then if folks are above that size, we will make a new pattern that goes above that at no extra cost.
Yeah.
So we try, basically the cutoff was totally arbitrary based on the largest size we could get to test that pattern, but we don't want to exclude anyone.
Yeah.
We also have a couple other schemes where we make patterns available at discounted rates for folks who have, you know, who may not be able to purchase patterns at full rates because of monetary issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of thing. So we're trying to be a really inclusive business.
Ethically great or rat.
Ethically, yeah, yeah. We kind of want to do the best that we can to include everybody, especially when if you're plus size and you're above our size range, there's probably literally nothing else available for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's kind of been shocking to see in New Zealand how uninclusive sizing is, especially when you can't even, if there is something that is your size, there's a very low chance that it will be stocked in a store, so you can't even go try it on to see if it will fit.
And you know, like those classic not classic but great New Zealand businesses that maybe have great ethics, they don't include plus sizes. They're not, or even if they do, which most of them don't, they're not showing pictures of them on their website, that kind of thing. So, yeah, It's unfortunate, and yeah. I think could easily be rectified, because if me staying at home and working, selling sewing yeah. patterns has proven anything, it's that plus size folks have money to spend.
Yeah.
And it's a huge gap in the market, and if you're ignoring them, I think that's at your business's peril.
Yeah, they're hot tips for anyone in the fashion industry right now. Is there anything that you would change if you kind of started everything over again and were to do things differently?
I don't think so, which is not to say that everything kind of has been perfect or perfectly laid out. Maybe I would have bought my printer earlier so yeah. that I could have had something to print with when we went into the lockdown. But the business taking off in the way it did was really thanks to the COVID lockdowns in the States, which yeah. is where most of our sewing pattern customers are from. And so it really was like just a coincidence of timings that mm-hmm. worked out really well and has continued going well.
How have you found, because as you just said, a lot of your target audience or audience that follows you is from overseas. How do you find marketing to them when you're in little old Christchurch?
I think with the internet, it doesn't really make much difference yeah. where you are based. And for lots of those people in the States, they won't be aware necessarily of where we are in the world. Our website runs on US dollars.
Yeah.
Mostly because we know that people who are not from the US are very used to not shopping in their currency.
Yeah.
And Americans are really confused by not shopping in their currency or being catered to as the primary kind of user.
Yeah.
So we just thought we'd make that easier and make yeah. them the center of our universe on that front.
America's being the main character.
Yeah, no, not to speak ill of Americans, yeah. but if someone's going to get confused about currency conversion, it's going to be them.
Nice. I have another very deep and meaningful question. It is, why do you feel so passionately about pockets?
Because they should be really deep and meaningful.
Yeah, it's a pun.
So many clothes don't have pockets. So many clothes have, like, tiny pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want pockets that hold stuff. Really deep pockets. Yeah. Really big pockets.
Yeah. You know the corn song?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like the corn kid.
I just love pockets. Yeah. You put butter in them, everything changed.
Yeah, they're great. I specifically love the jacket with the very big pockets you made.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the denim one. Have you had any, like, fashion fails? Like, what's been your biggest mess up?
So many. I mean, some of them are like, sometimes I post things on Instagram that I'm like, I don't like this, and I can outline the reasons, and then people will be like, I like it, I think it looks good.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is about, like, clothes are in the eye of the beholder, but also on the body of the wearer.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but, like, something can look perfectly good and just, like, not be for you.
Yeah.
So I made, like, a really, it took me ages, this, like, lovely wool shacket, and it's navy. And I was like, navy goes with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that it goes with nothing for me. I don't like it with,
yeah.
like, lots of my clothes. And so it was really depressing because this project took me, like, yeah. a whole week yeah. to make. And I was like, oh, I really thought this would be an easy win, and I don't like wearing it at mm-hmm. all. It's such a bummer. So I think, yeah, a lot of my, like, recent fails have just been, like, poor fabric choice or not realizing that, like, my preferences would get in the way of things like that.
Yeah, you did a blog post on the navy shacket.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have a blog?
Just as a place, I guess, a backup from Instagram.
Yeah.
When Instagram keeps, you know, will eventually charge me money mm-hmm. and I won't be paying it. But also as a spot to just give more information.
Yeah.
In the caption of an Instagram post, I think if you want people to read it and comment and be compelled, you don't always want to give, like, the, I use 2.6 meters of 150 yeah. centimeter wide fabric. These are my current measurements. I yeah. made this size. So the blog is basically just a place for me to kind of deep dive into things, including my ramblings on, like, yeah. colour and wardrobe and all
travel.
Those kind of things. Travel wardrobe. Yeah, that's
yeah.
my current totally theoretical, since I will not be travelling anytime soon.
Yeah.
But just thinking about, so my recent blog series is thinking about
yeah.
trips I've taken
mm-hmm.
where my wardrobe has failed me. Like, yeah. I was sweaty and uncomfortable, and they had, you know, like, stockings that broke, and, you know, I hurt between the thighs and all this stuff. Thinking about what I would do now with the sewing skills that I have to fix my packing for those trips so that I could have a comfortable and excellent holiday.
I think they are very cool blog posts because I've followed along. And for someone who doesn't sew their own clothes, I also find them really helpful because I'm like, oh, yeah, that's something I could be doing differently and being made aware of something that could be a bit more versatile. I did specifically, like, I think someone commented, pack a pair of pajama pants that you could also wear out and about.
Mm-hmm.
I am all for that. Shamelessly.
Yeah, so when everything else gets, like, wet or dirty, you've still got something to wear. And also, I've been thinking a lot about, like, what to pack on an onboard bag.
Yeah.
Because I traveled, like, this, like, really bold idiot
to
go to, like, Japan or even to Europe. When you're a plus size, and if my bag had got lost, I don't think I could have bought stuff to replace it.
Yeah.
I would have had the clothes that were on my back, which were probably smelly because I'd been on like a 13-hour flight.
See, I'm just cheap and only back on board.
Even international? Surely not.
Oh, yeah. I'll make it work.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's what I would like to do now. I think, like, it's interesting to think about if I went for 3 weeks in Japan.
My ideal holiday is a road trip, so I can take everything I want with me. We're going to Queenstown this weekend, and I started to pack last night so I could work out what I needed to wash before the weekend. And I was sitting there being like, what would Jess say? What combinations of outfit could I do? My bag is very full for a three or like 4 day trip.
Gotta have outfit combinations, but also packing stuff that works all together.
Yeah.
When I went to Europe, I packed heaps of, like, oh, this shirt only goes with this one pair of bottoms. This shirt only goes with this other one. Like, not stuff that worked all well together.
Yeah.
So now if I repacked, I'd have very versatile
My things. Hack is pack dresses, because then you don't have to mix and match.
Then you have to wear dresses.
Yeah, that is very true. I've got to risk getting chub rub.
Or, like, being really cold.
Yeah.
Who knows what could happen.
Yes, layering with a dress is a lot harder. If you're going to a destination, like a hot destination, dress.
Nah, pants.
The glee pants.
The glee pants,
Very specifically. How have you found, since you've reached your claim to fame on Insta, how have you found working with different brands and companies?
Well, you say that like I'm a proper influencer. I've really only worked with one business in that capacity, and I did a thing with Spotlight recently, and that was fine. For the most part, because my, like, following is entirely sewing related.
Yeah,
and also
very niche.
Very niche, and also because I don't really want to be, like, a lifestyle influencer. Sometimes I get what look like spam emails being like, you can get discounted jewelry for your followers with this discount code, and we'll send you free things. And I'm like, well, that's not at all what I'm about.
Yeah.
So I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, I think it's really important for people who are influencing to kind of be aware of what the audience is actually into, because it starts to feel, I think, with a lot of influencers, like it's the living channel or like the infomercial channel where everything's just very scripted over and over again. It's so hard to tell exactly what they like and don't like, which is what I love about you, because I don't see hashtag ad or hashtag spawn on every post, and I can be like, ah, this is a cool product that Jess genuinely does love. Otherwise, she definitely would not be posting.
I suppose, to be fair, like, since I'm mostly wearing our sewing patterns in every single post, they're technically all sponsored.
Yeah, that is very true.
But I don't put ad in them, because I'm not, like, I don't know, I guess sometimes I'm advertising a specific pattern, but, like, yeah, I don't think that me getting in touch with skincare companies to be like, hey, you should work with me, would do a service either to that company, to me, or to my followers.
Yeah.
And it's not, I imagine, what people signed up to hear from me about. Maybe I could do more stuff about colour. I think people like to hear about that.
Yeah, colour's something I think a lot of people can relate to. You've recently diagnosed me as a spring.
I think I said you were a light spring.
A light spring. And then followed with an email with a million links of clothes I could buy, which was very helpful and potentially very dangerous to the wallet.
Of course, I take all the color season stuff with a grain of salt because a lot of it has to be like stuff you like as well.
Yeah.
But for me, I found it really interesting to explore that and put that into a context of like, what do I also like to wear?
Yeah, I found with the color stuff, which no one's asked me for my opinion on this, I found it really good because I'm a bit of a big spender when it comes to clothes, but like not in a good way, not in a way I should be flexing about. But having colors to like of clothing that I know look great on me, it also limits rather than just going and buying random stuff and then having nothing in my wardrobe that actually matches.
Yeah, and that's a big problem with sewing as well. You get like a fabric you really love and you sew something and then you're like, well, it goes with nothing else. So now I have to make some pants to go with it and a different jacket to go with it. That's a bit like shopping, is like you buy a jacket that you like and you're like, it doesn't go with anything, but I could buy some pants and a new top, and you can quickly spiral out of sustainability no matter how well you're shopping.
Yeah. Did you ever imagine yourself to be working in this industry?
No. No, and I, like, certainly didn't get into sewing thinking I'd become, like, a sewing professional or anything
sewing
like that.
Sewing professional.
I suppose I was always interested in social media when that first started, and also I was a nerd in high school building websites and that kind of thing. So I suppose it makes sense that I am now, you know, like, managing our website and taking care of all that stuff. But it's not something I set out to do.
Yeah. For anyone out there who's looking to kind of set up their own website, which like domains or sites, or who would you go with?
I'm WordPress. I'm WordPress all the way. Except if you have something to sell and you're not very savvy. And then like I saw our website runs on Shopify.
Yeah.
And that was easiest for us because we're doing like international things.
Yeah.
And need something to track all of those kind of transactions. But my personal website, my Christchurch Sews website, is all run on WordPress.
Why do you like it?
I had WordPress before it was WordPress. I just know my way around in there.
See, this is so hard because it's like people, it's what you works best for you as well, or like what you've committed to learning. So with my website, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's really easy to do things now, but I cried so much when I first set it up.
It's the same reason I still use MailChimp as my newsletter writer, because I've always used MailChimp, and it's easy for me to use it.
Yeah, and we're all going on about, like, the boomers not learning how to use new technology.
I can't learn new phone systems now. I'm iPhone for life, because I'm just too old to learn a new system.
Amazing. Just to wrap us up today, did you want to give us kind of three little tips for people who want to improve their marketing skills?
I was like, is it going to be about marketing or sewing?
No.
Marketing. Yeah, I suppose think about how you interact with businesses and apply that to your own accounts.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're describing and not presuming knowledge when you're sharing things on social media or on your website.
Yeah.
And a third one. I don't know. Take good pictures.
Good photos.
It's better to not post anything than post something that's like dimly lit.
Yes. I think a pretty picture that's still kind of real and like unfiltered goes a very long way these days. Final thing, did you want to do some shameless self-promotion? Tell people where they can find you, where they can check out your sewing patterns?
Well, I guess you can find me at on Instagram at fat.bobbin.girl. I've got a blog, broad in the seams.com. Our sewing pattern company is munnaandbroad.com, M-U-N-A.
Yeah.
And I also have Christchurch Sews, which is chchsews.com. On Instagram and also on the website, on the web.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I know I've learned a lot, even though I see you every week. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks for listening to All About Her. Check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and plainsfm.org.nz. New All About Her comes out every other Thursday at 11 a.m. If you want to keep up to date with us, follow us on Instagram at allabouther_NZ.